Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
You see, today I want to look at this whole issue today of self-control. Today I want to focus in on that today. And last week we heard about instant things. Pastor Neil told us about things that happen when we become a new creation. But today I want to tell you about ongoing things. So who's your boss this morning? That's really important because the transformer in the circuit is the manager. The transformer is who's controlling the power which goes to the bulbs, the output. And who's in control of your life? Turn in your Bible to Galatians, and we're going to read from Galatians chapter 5. And just as introduction to that, I want to remind you what Paul does throughout Galatians, and he brings a little bit of instruction and a bit of encouragement and reminder and correction as well. But I want to remind you today, if you are a new creation, you are free in Christ Jesus. That you have been set free from the power of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with the sin issue. In fact, we sang it in our opening song today that we're free from our sin and penalty. Jesus has dealt with that. You are free today if you are in Christ Jesus from the power of sin. Jesus has set you free from that. Is anyone glad this morning that you're no longer in sin, you're no longer enslaved in sin, but you are free in Christ Jesus? And Jesus has called us to live in freedom. And I think it's wonderful and amazing and quite humbling that God trusts us enough with the freedom to choose to live in a manner which is glorifying in honor to Him and is a benefit to other people. Nobody is a robot in this place. Nobody is forced to live in any manner, but you have the freedom from God to choose to live in a manner which is glorifying to Him. And we've got to be careful that we do not misuse our freedom. So within this church in Galatia, there's two kind of groups of people. There are those who are quite religious. They're known as the Judaizers. They're the ones who want to bring us back to living under the Old Testament law. They were really big into that. Let's get back into the rites. And then you had another group of people who did not have that background, but they were Gentile believers. That means that they were not Jewish people. They were people who had been grown up doing whatever they wanted and just lived in that society. So you've got this blend of people, people who are strict religious people and people who are totally free and just recently became Christians. And Paul speaks into this issue that yes, you are free, but you've got a responsibility with your freedom. So come on, let's read together from verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 5, Galatians. You, my dear brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Hallelujah. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Father, I thank you today that Jesus Christ has set us free from the power of sin. Father, I thank you today that you've entrusted us with this great responsibility to live a manner which glorifies you and to live in a lifestyle, Lord, that would help other people. So, Father, I just pray over these next few moments, Holy Spirit, you're in control. You're the boss. So, Father, I pray that you have your way with me, but have your way with everyone here today, that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives. Encourage us and inspire us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul tells us here about the liberty that we have as believers. But what will we do with the freedom that we have received? See, everybody here today has been set free. You are free. Isn't that wonderful? That you're not enslaved, you're not a captive anymore, but you're free. Everyone has the responsibility not to misuse, but actually to use our freedom wisely. You see, there are two possible outcomes here which we are warned of. First of all is legalism, when everything on the outside is the right way, but on the inside is far from God. But also there is license. License to just live however you want. But Paul says quite clearly here, so that you do not do whatever you want. And I love what John Stott tells us about what Christian freedom truly is. Christian freedom, true Christian freedom, is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. I'm going to rest on that a moment. True Christian freedom is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. See, you're under new management today. It's not business as usual. And these believers who were not Judaizers, but the Gentile believers, how previously in their life, they just lived however they wanted to live. And Paul comes and reminds you, there's a change happened. You've been transformed. You're a new creation. You've been set free. Life is going to look a little bit different. In fact, it's going to be quite radical in how things look. There has been a change. So true freedom is freedom not to sin, but freedom from sin. We are free to live higher, not to live lower. We are free to not just live for ourselves, but to live for the benefit of others. We're free to live for the benefit of others. We're free not to live selfishly. We're free to live selflessly. We are free in Christ Jesus. True freedom in Christ is when we live for the benefit of others, not for the benefit of ourselves. That's what true freedom is. True freedom is when we choose to love our neighbors and express our lives in self-control and obey God's law. But we're all real here today, and we're all human. And there is a conflict within every single one of us, which Paul tells us about. He speaks about this war, this battle that goes within every one of us, of the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is our fallen human nature. Has everybody got a pulse this morning? Everybody? Anybody here? Can we just check our wrists for a moment? Is there a pulse there? Can you get your pulse? Is everybody alive here today? Well, if you're alive here today, the truth is that we all still have this fallen, sinful nature because we were born naturally. In fact, this morning downstairs, Apex Kids are learning about sin and forgiveness of sins and how we're born in sin. And we were all born in sin. In our natural life, we have this internal flesh state, which Paul calls flesh. It literally means skin. It means our flesh. But at the same time, when you became a new creation, the Spirit of God came and lived within you. And at the same time, both are living together, and there's this constant struggle within you, flesh. And he talks here about a few things. He says, yes, the flesh, but he talks about the desires of the flesh. That's that internal thoughts. That's their emotions and feelings on the inside. And then he talks about the acts of the flesh. That's when we don't deal with those internal desires and we live a lifestyle which is the fruit of those thoughts and feelings. And he actually goes on to remind Christians. This is a letter to Christians. This is not a letter to those heathens on the outside. He's reminding Christians that this is maybe what your life used to look like. In fact, he lists the obvious behaviors here, the obvious behaviors and actions, and he lists them and he gives them detail of these are some things. And in fact, another part of the Bible, he says, this is what your life used to be look like. Such were some of you. And he gives us four things that he kind of covers all these things. First is physical relationships. He talks that these are acts of the flesh. Physical relationships, and I'm mindful of the people in this room today, so I'm going to be careful. But that is anything out with what God designed for a physical intimate relationship. And that is a husband and wife in marriage. That is what he's speaking about there. And then he goes on and he says a word which you can only say in a deep voice, debauchery. Come on, when's the last time you said debauchery in any sentence? It's only when you read the Bible when you have to hear this word, debauchery. And why does he use that word? Because that's excessiveness. And that's a key word, excessiveness. He speaks about physical relationships. He then speaks about spiritual relationships, idolatry and witchcraft, ungodly worship and spiritual practices. He then mentions human relationships, how you treat other people. And finally, he mentions personal relationships, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Why does he say that? Because it's excessiveness. He doesn't say drink, or he doesn't say about eating, taking too much pieces out the sweet tin, guilty. He doesn't say don't order too much from the Chinese every time. He doesn't say that, but he uses this one here because he says it's for a reason, because it's about excessiveness. This is a life out of control. And I want to encourage you today that Jesus came to set you free to not live out of control, but to live with self-control. Paul warns them that this is a lifestyle not to belong to a believer. But also, I think this is an important thing, that at the same time, you can have the right behavior with the wrong character. Mentioned it earlier with the Pharisees. And outwardly, everything was right, but on the inside, they were evil. But also, the acts of the flesh begin in our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions. And everybody, as I said, we've clarified this already today, is human. So we've all got this struggle going on within us. Every single person. Everybody has got that. And the choice today relies on you, what you're going to do with those feelings, thoughts, and emotions. Will they lead to acts of the flesh, or will they be taken captive and dealt with and lead to a life which produces fruit that will benefit other people? You see, Paul tells us here that how do we deal with this? We crucify our flesh. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. And Paul uses that to remind us that our flesh we need to crucify to the cross. And we've got to leave it there. See, the temptation in life is that we crucify it and then we just begin to pull it back off. Well, hopefully the nail's not too tight and we can just pull that back off. But Paul says you've got to crucify it. You've got to stop it. You've got to kill it. It needs to stop. And that's what Paul's saying to these guys here, is these are obvious, the acts of the flesh. You've got to stop doing that, and you've got to crucify it. But this is to Christians. And I think this is so important that we remind this letter was written not to people who are not Christians, people who are Christians. And there's two things that I think are helpful here that he puts us in here. And the first thing is this. The reason he does this is because it's important for a Christian to look different from people who are not Christians. In a pagan society like in Galatia, it was really important that if the Christians were going to be living up to who they said they were, then you can't be living like everybody else there at the time. And what was happening at that time was not good. It was not godly. And all this here would be similar to what was happening in Corinthians. And Corinth was another place, which was quite a place. But I'll be honest with you, when I read up about it, it's not too different from Peterhead. It's not too different from Scotland and the United Kingdom. And there's two things that I think are really important here. Two questions that you need to ask when it comes to your behavior as a Christian. This is it. And I think this is mature for a Christian who is free in Christ. Two questions to ask about your choices of behavior. Firstly, is this beneficial and constructive for my spiritual growth? You see, you can come here today and say, I'm free. I can do whatever I like. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. I can do whatever I like and God's going to forgive me. But whatever you do, whatever you like, it's not always going to be good for your spiritual growth. It's not always going to be beneficial, and it's not always going to be constructive. But similarly, the next question is, not just for my growth, how is this going to benefit other people? Is this going to be an obstacle for other people to find faith, or is this going to be an obstacle for people who are new to the faith or in their faith? I wish I could spend more time on that today, but we need to move on. When I reflected on this week, I really was thinking about who's in control of my life, and self-control has really challenged me this week, because I think self-control, we kind of pinpoint on those who are addicted or those that are maybe in extreme excesses in life. But I'll be honest, I've really had to check myself this week and ask, how self-controlled am I? How many episodes do you watch on Netflix after the next one? That's self-control, isn't it? Now, hear me this morning. I'm not saying that in itself is wrong. I'm not saying that having a piece out of the tin is wrong. I'm not saying today that buying clothes is wrong. But when you can't stop buying clothes, and when you can't stop eating out the peace tin, or when you can't stop watching Netflix, or when you have to have the next thing, you have to have, when it becomes excessive or obsessive, I think there might be an issue of self-control there. And as we begin to go through the fruits of the Spirit right now, they all really come together with this one right at the end, self-control. And Paul is setting up here. He sets up what life used to be like, what life shouldn't be like, and he brings us to this place, the fruits of the Spirit, and they all come together with self-control. Transformation of character is more significant than circumstantial happiness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These are the virtues, character traits that are natural outcome of a Spirit-led life. We are free to choose to live with these virtues and character traits. And we categorize these in three different categories. Firstly, is love, joy, and peace are Godward. These are three things that come from God. The Bible tells us that God is love. We love because God first loved us. If we are in Him, God's love is in us. God's love dwells within you. He gave you His love. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord being your strength. The Bible tells us that joy doesn't come from circumstantial happiness. It comes from God's presence in your life and His hope for your future. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." The New Testament describes that He is our peace, who has broken down every wall that divides. He is our peace. Love, joy, peace comes from God. It's within you. Secondly, we see about human word, as in patience, kindness, and goodness, things that we can show to other people, things of how we treat other people. You know when your patience is being tested, God's doing that on purpose because He's wanting to develop patience in your life. And sometimes He places people within your life that test your patience. Sometimes He places people in your life that don't deserve kindness. Sometimes He places people in your life that maybe don't deserve goodness. But that's what He uses to develop that fruit in your life. And then lastly, this last category is about how we treat ourselves, self-worth, faithfulness. Being faithful to ourselves, but also being faithful to the people that are entrusted near us. Being gentle. Isn't that a great gentle? Have you ever met somebody who's just got a gentle way about them? And that's a very attractive thing. And I would say, up until this point in fruits, I would say, all this looks good in you. When you wear this, it all looks good. All this looks good. Love, joy, peace. Come on, have you ever paid somebody a compliment and say, hey, you're looking good today? When you display these things in your life, it looks so good. It looks so good. Can I say this morning? That's how Peterhead's going to be transformed. That's how it's going to be transformed. When Christians begin to get a good dose of the Holy Spirit and we live in the fruit of the Spirit. Because I need a dose of the Holy Spirit. I need what goes on here on a Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, I need to be displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. And then we come to self-control, and we've touched this already, so I'll be mindful how we go through this. But self-control, control over one's behavior and the impulses and emotions beneath it. Ever sent a text that you wish you'd never sent? Ever spoken a word that you wish you could take back? Ever spent too much time looking at something that you shouldn't have spent time looking at? Ever procrastinated to the point that you could have gotten so much work done in that time if only you had taken self-control and been disciplined in that moment? Come on, I think if we're being honest here today, this is one of the fruits that we all are trying to work on. Maybe it is just making that decision, that willful decision that I'm not going to do that anymore. That before I go, and in fact, maybe it's And I really hope my heart this morning is coming across. I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be too like, oh, that means you can't do anything. You can't eat any sweets or you can't eat any pieces or you can't do anything. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm asking, is self-control evident in our lives? Because a life which is out of control is not going to win people to Jesus. But a life which is controlled, which God has given us the ability and has given us the choice to do, will be attractive to people. Joyce Meyer says these words, "We are never going to enjoy spiritual maturity until we learn how to do what's right when it feels wrong." When you do what's right when it feels wrong, like going to the gym. Doesn't feel good, but it's right. Like not taking that extra Kit Kat. Doesn't feel good, but it's right. Like maybe just sticking to what you were going to order and not adding a few extras when you got to McDonald's and you got to the counter and thought, oh, we'll have one of those cheese melts. That would be good. Or maybe it's like saying, look, I'm just going to watch one episode of that box set tonight. I'm not going to binge for a whole night. Self-control. Doesn't it feel good at the time, but it's right. Until we learn how to do what's right when it feels wrong. And every time you do what's right by decision of your will, using discipline and self-control to go beyond how you feel, the more painful it is in your flesh. The more you're growing spiritually at that particular moment. How can we do this? How is this possible? Because we're all in this battle. We've all got this conflict going on within us. And you're not different. You're not abnormal. Every Christian is facing this today. And I want to take time here because this really matters. How you live and small decisions and choices affect not just you, but the people all around you. The greatest car crashes and fallouts in life didn't begin with that one incident. It started with little choices all along the way. That's why I believe self-control is so important. But how can we do that? Well, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, which is dwelling within every single believer here today. And Paul tells us here about the Holy Spirit and what our relationship with the Holy Spirit is. I said earlier that Jesus Christ has set us free, which is true. On the cross, he set us free from the power of sin. But without the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, without the Holy Spirit who is in control of our lives, if we did not have the Holy Spirit, surely our lives would just lead to license and just degeneration and a life which is destructive. But the Holy Spirit helps us. You see, I love how Jesus spoke about a helper who would come, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us and that Jesus said would lead us into all truth. He's the one who enables us to live a life which seems impossible, but with him it is possible. And Paul tells us two things here, that we are to firstly be led by the Spirit, that we are to be Spirit-led. If you are a Christian here and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, then we're called to be Spirit-led Christians, which means that every day you are looking to the direction of the Holy Spirit to guide you in life. And the Spirit is not going to lead you to acts of the flesh. The Spirit is going to lead you to the fruit of the Spirit and lead you to good behaviors. That's where the Spirit will lead you. But Paul says that not only do we be led by the Spirit, but we're to walk by the Spirit. You see, you've got a part to play in this. You've to make the willful choices. You've to make the decisions to crucify the flesh and be led by the Spirit. You see, Paul tells us here these two actions are important. That the Spirit is leading you, but you've to be willful and you've to make that decision. And that takes complete surrender. That's not just, let's see how we get on today and let's see what happens by the end of the day. It means choosing willfully to sacrifice, to crucify the flesh, and to be determined to live as he would intend us to do. These are the ongoing things. Because Paul says to keep in step. Every day we take a step forward. Every day we move forward in our relationship and our journey in this life. And it is our freedom, it is our ability, it is our choice to live one step at a time with the Holy Spirit. So to be Spirit-led this morning means that your life should be demonstrating the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That to be Spirit-led this morning, that we should be willfully choosing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. To be sensitive enough and to be still enough to know when the Spirit is leading us. So I want to remind you this morning that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He convicts us of acts and thoughts and desires, whatever it is, of the flesh. And you have to choose whether to respond to that or you can just ignore that. And I would tell you today, if you're choosing the second there, ignoring it, you're going to start walking backwards. And the next time you sense that feeling of conviction, you're going to, well, I was okay the last time, so hey, in fact, I'm free to do this. In fact, actually, I could just say a quick prayer of forgiveness and I'm going to be okay here. That's not spirit-led. It's not spirit-led. In that moment, I'm the boss. But I asked you this morning, who's the boss? Who's your boss? Is it the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. He will lead you to walk in His truth. He will lead you to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the acts of the flesh. Because this morning I could have came and I could have been like a Judaizer and told you, this is what you should do. And if you do this, you'll be okay. But Jesus said, I've came to set you free. And He's saying to set us free from that. And what He did do, though, is He gave us the gift of the Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be the control, to be the manager, to be our boss, to lead us so that we would willfully choose to live a life which is Spirit-led. So that's freedom this morning. We're under new management. It's not business as usual. Things are different. This requires a holy moment. This requires a time of prayer, a time where we just say, Holy Spirit, I submit to your leading and help me to walk by your Spirit. So come on, let's stand together and bow our heads. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Father, I thank you today that we are no longer under the power of sin. But Lord, I recognize, and I'm sure every person here recognizes, that fallen human nature within us. Father, the things that we don't want to do, sometimes we do them. And the things we want to do, we don't always do them. And Father, we recognize, Lord, that we are not perfect, there are failings, but we thank you that your grace and your mercy is sufficient for us. So Father, we come right now and we bring our lives and we lay them on the altar. Lord, we bring our hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every Christian here today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live under new management, that we would live our lives with the Holy Spirit who would be in control of us. Lord, we want to be Spirit-led people. We want to be sensitive to you. And we want to live a life which is honoring and pleasing to you. And Father, I ask right now that you forgive us for the times when we've fallen short, when, Lord, we haven't made the best choice. Lord, I thank you that your blood still has power. Lord, your word tells us that if we confess our sins, you are just and you are faithful to forgive us. So, Father, I pray for people here, Lord, are maybe thinking of things right now. Lord, I pray against any sense of guilt and condemnation, but Father, I pray for a sense of liberty and freedom. That as people confess in their hearts right now, Lord, you are just and you are faithful to forgive. So Father, by the Spirit of God, I pray for that liberty and freedom which the enemy has tried to rob from us. The enemy has tried to take from us. I pray that would fill hearts right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir up the fire, the refining fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would burn away the dross, that you would burn away anything, Lord, that is not pleasing to you. Lord, we crucify our flesh in this moment. Father, we choose right now that we're going to say no, that we're going to stop it, that we're going to delete that number, we're going to delete that app, we're going to delete that page, we're going to go against that in Jesus' name. We decide today that we are going to make a choice to be Spirit-led people. So Holy Spirit, I pray for Christians here. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to walk by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would go against just lip service, but we'd be people of action. Lord, that we'd be people who make a willful choice. Lord, even in this moment right now, people are making choices and decisions that they're aware, Lord, of things that they should not be doing. But Lord, today you're reminding them of how to walk right. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would set people free. Lord, set people free, Lord Jesus. Lord, there are people, Lord, that have walked with you for a while, but Lord, they've drifted. I pray you bring them back in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you lead them by your Spirit, that they would make that willful choice and surrender to live according to you. Father, I pray, Lord, for families right now. Lord, I pray for husbands and wives. Lord, I pray for children, for family members. Lord, I pray for homes. Lord, I pray that they would be Spirit-led. Lord, that we would make choices and we would make decisions which honor you, which do not gratify the flesh, but Lord, they bring glory to Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would help us to consecrate our hearts to you. Lord, I pray right now in this holy moment, Lord, that we would make this choice as we worship you. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to refine us, to bring us back into line in Jesus' name. There's salvation found in Jesus' name. You're here today and you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You're here and you know your life actually seems a bit out of control. It seems a bit purposeless and there's no meaning. You've never dealt with the sin issue. You've never came to God and said, forgive me of my sins. I recognize that Jesus died on the cross in my place, took my punishment for my sin. You want to be a Christian this morning, you want to make that decision. I want to give you an opportunity in this moment. As every head is bowed and eye is closed, that's you. Can you just raise your hand and I'll see it and I'll lead you in a prayer. I see you, Paul. I see you. Is there anyone else here today? Anyone else that says, I want to become a Christian this morning? Anyone here that says, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior? Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we've heard of today, that you will lead us into a place of fruitfulness, a place in life where we're abounding, producing a constructive lifestyle that benefits not just our spiritual growth, but the growth of other people as well. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Father, I pray for your grace and for your mercy to be our portion every single day. Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for every believer here, help us to live a life, to walk by your Spirit step by step every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.